You're very, very welcome. Thanks for coming. Praise God. God is good, yeah? Hands up who's enjoying the last series we're doing, Earth, Wind, Fire and Water. Been a great series, hasn't it? It's really been challenging for me, just to put words together or to, especially when you have a focused approach, it can be difficult at times to try and, you know, get a sermon out of it because you're kind of just you're sermonizing on themes. But, you know, when you ask the Lord, he always delivers, always, always delivers. And it's one thing I can say, that God is faithful. And it's one thing I can say as a Christian, since 1995, which is a long time, God is always faithful. I can stand on that. I can stand on that through experience, that God is always faithful. And he always turns up. He might turn up on air time scale, but he turns up. He's never late and he's never early. Isn't that right? But God is faithful. And part of our sermon this morning is I'm going to preach on the water, on the living waters of God. And it's something that I visited many years ago when I was preaching. I had a message in my old notes here. And I said I'd want to kind of go back to that and have a look at it. And it's amazing when you look back in the years how much you've moved on in the Lord. The message that I spoke on was in 2003. And you look at the little notes and you look at the little things in life. That it's like it's almost like a snapshot of where I was in 2003. And it's amazing how God moves you on in the years. It's amazing how he causes you to grow. How he nourishes us and how he brings us from one position in life into another. And I love that about the Lord. I love that we never stand still in God. We shouldn't be standing still. If you are standing still, go and talk to somebody, because that's not the will of God in their lives. Amen. We should be always progressing, always moving. Some people might say to me, Eddie, I don't feel I'm progressing because I'm not in full-time service in the church already. I don't feel I'm progressing because I'm only involved in 10 ministries, not 15. And, and people, they put progression into what they're doing. But that's not it. It's progression in a relationship. It's progression in a relationship. What we do is the gravy. So you ever hear that saying? It's all gravy, isn't it? What we do for the Lord is the gravy. But the Lord is interested in us. He's interested in the individual. He died for the individual. He died for the person. It's good and it's great to serve God. But he didn't die so he'd have servants in that sense. He died that we can be retrieved back to him. Back to him for what? Well, for a relationship. Amen. Isn't that a great thing? And that's what I discovered going through these notes, going through the old notes, is that God has moved me on so many ways since 2003. And it's a great thing to understand that. And it's a great thing to testify that about who the Lord is. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. If you want to turn with me, I'm going to go to the Old Testament, the New Testament. I'm going to break something down if I can. And it starts off in Ezekiel 47. And I want to give two comparisons. And if we look at Ezekiel 47, we're looking at a man who is in the middle of a vision. And God has shown Ezekiel many secrets, of the kingdom of heaven. He's shown Ezekiel about measurements and about what size he wants the temple to be and about where everything is supposed to be and what size this room is going to be and what size that room is going to be and even to the point of what size the arch is going to be. And everything was exact and exacting. And that's who our Father is. He is an exacting God. He is a holy God. And what the word holiness means is it means uncommon. That's what the word holiness means. It means uncommon. And the opposite to holiness is common. It's wherever it's going. But holiness is the uncommon. And God is a holy God. And so he's given Ezekiel a vision about perfection. About everything has to be exacting. The 10 cubits here and 50 cubits here. This height here. This size here. And then the vision changes, you see. The vision takes another direction where he talks about water coming up from the threshold of the temple. And this is a beautiful picture because now he's prophesying. And now he's talking about what's going to happen in the future. He's talking about the Christ who is to come. He's talking about the living God. And he's talking about what he's going to do and what it's going to look like and where it's going to come from. And you see, Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. He was the exacting of the temple. He done everything the temple required. He was perfect in every way, no fault found in him. And it's a picture of the water coming from the temple and flowing out from the center, if you like, of Judaism and going forth into the world. And it's exactly the picture of the gospel. And exactly what happened the day Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That this living water will go forth. It will go forth from the center of Judaism and out into the world. And this is the picture we have. And let's pick it up. Let's pick it up. Where were we? We'll start off with verse 3 from 47. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. And then he led me through water that was ankle deep. And remember, water had come from the temple. If you look back and now, if you go home today and study this, this is a water that flowed from the temple. It started off as a stream and now as a river. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to my waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and it was deep enough for me to swim in. A river that no one could cross. He asked me then, the Son of Man, do you see this? Then he led me back on the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this water flows towards the eastern regions and goes down into Araba. When it enters the sea, when it empties into the sea, the waters there become fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because the water flows and there makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Egiliam. There will be places for spreading nets and the fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for the salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will never fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Isn't that a tremendous picture? What was the man shown Ezekiel? What was the vision? Can we explain that vision? Well, Ezekiel couldn't explain that vision. Ezekiel hadn't a clue what was going on here. And we are so blessed as a people. We are so blessed as people that are post-cross. See, we look back at the cross. And Ezekiel looked towards the cross. And we can see exactly the picture that has been presented to us today. Is that the gospel of the living God is like a river that flows. And it gives life wherever it flows. And whatever it flows into, there is life. And the picture is seeing that the man is he's persuaded to enter the river. But at first, it's ankle deep. And the man is comfortable with this. And all of a sudden, then he's led by the hand again, and he's brought in, and it's waist deep. And the man is comfortable with this, and he's not making any comment about this, but he's been willing to be led. And then all of a sudden, the man is brought in and he's brought up to the chest. And all of a sudden, he's making statements like, this is uncrossable. He's getting uncomfortable, you see here. And he's getting into a place where there's danger. And there's almost like he's longing that he never went this deep. And then the Bible talks about the man is brought and he's brought back up out of the river. And he's shown the produce of the river. And what a tremendous picture of us entering into the faith of God. The one who called us, the one who set us free, and the one who is asking us to come in. And he takes us by the hand and he leads us into the river. And all of a sudden it can be a thing of, man, this message is easy. This is an easy message for me to comprehend. Let's go deeper. And the man brings him another 100 yards deeper, and all of a sudden, yeah, it's okay. It's getting a bit strange now, but it's okay. And all of a sudden, the man brings him deeper and he brings him into a place where he's completely dependent on the river. And the river is taking him. He's not taking it anymore.
The river is in control of him. That's the picture that we're given here. That it's a total surrender. It's a total giving in. And it's up to us. Are we ready to go that deep? Are we ready to be surrender to this river? It's easy to see, guys, because this is the picture you stand on. You stand ankle deep, you see, and there's always a way out. There's always another way out. And then when we stand knee deep or waist deep, yes, there's still a quicker way out. Still an easier way out. There's still in some ways, this is not for me and I'm out of here. But you see, when we go into the chest high and we're swimming in this river, the river has us. And the river is in control of us. And that's the question that God has asked us this morning. How deep are we prepared to go? How deep are we prepared to go into this river? Because God is challenging every person in this room, I believe. And this is going to maybe put a few noses out of joint. But you can be a Christian for a long time ankle deep. You can be there ankle deep. Always a way out. Always a step out. Never fully committed, but committed. Never fully committed. In, but not in. Out sometimes, in sometimes. And that's what we can do. We can be a waist deep Christian that says, you know what, I'm in far, but I know there's a way out for me. I know that all I have to do is just wade towards the bank and I'm out. And God is not fully in control of me. God doesn't have me. He doesn't have all of me. He has some of me. And I am in the river, but I'm in control. I'm in control. God wants us in, completely in. But He's in control. And that river will take us wherever it goes. Wherever He wants it to go, He'll take us. And you know the beautiful picture is because God never leaves us without hope. He takes the man out of the river and then He shows him the produce of the river. Isn't that an amazing thing? God never leaves us without hope. He never asks us to do something without showing us what's ahead of us. He showed him the produce of the river and where the river flowed. And there was trees on every bank. And the river was full of fish, full of life, full of hope. It's a picture of hope there. You see, there's always sustenance in the river. That's what a picture of. Every time you hear about fish in the Bible, it's sustenance. There's life there. There's provision there. You'll never go without. You'll never be in want. There's always produce. It's a river of life, you see. The gospel is a river of life that brings life wherever it goes. It brings life to us. And then it tells a tremendous picture. It shows the river going into the sea. And what a tremendous thing. All of a sudden, the salty water becomes fresh. I tell you, I've known that in my life. Whenever you hear about salt, it means either preservation or death. But in this picture, it means death. Salt means death. The Dead Sea is full of salt and nothing lives in it. And it's given a picture of a salty sea, but when fresh water comes in, it makes it fresh. Not the opposite way. The salt water doesn't make the fresh water salty. Because that's what usually happens. That's the natural run of things. But this is unnatural. He's not talking about the natural, he's talking about the unnatural. And when the salty water hits the fresh water, in other words, when the salt of the world hits the freshness of the gospel, it changes. It changes. There was a time in my life when, yeah, salt, yeah, no life, dead. Dead, dead, dead. And all of a sudden, the river of life came into my life. In the form of a man coming and preaching the gospel to me, willing to lay hands on me and bear with me and listen to my waffle, not mind the fact that I'm trying to rob him. Patient and kind, virtuous. Trees on every bank. A river full of life came into my life, and all of a sudden my saltiness now was turned into fresh water where something can live. Where something can live. See, nothing can live in the Dead Sea. Nothing can be produced. Nothing. There's nothing that can give. It's always take, 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 dead, 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 kill, kill, kill. But all of a sudden, the river of life was in, and all of a sudden, now I'm producing. And there's life coming out of me. It's the picture that he's given here. There's life coming out of me. Trees on both sides. But then it gives a warning. And I'm going to move on to the New Testament in a minute. So let's get rid of the heavy stuff first. There's a warning because Ezekiel is given a picture of a marsh. And you see, in the natural things, a marsh catches everything. It slows down a river. And it catches everything. And then Ezekiel says, but the marsh, nothing changes. Nothing changes in marsh. And things stay the same. And what's he talking about there? Is he talking about a literal river? No, he's not. He's talking about lives. And we must continue to flow in this river. We can't allow ourselves to get bogged down. And we can allow that river to stop flowing. And we can allow that saltiness to trap us again. And he's talking about the people that are in the river. And that's a warning to us as Christians. I said it at the top of my sermon that we must continually be moving. We cannot stand still. You must keep, me included, measuring your life. Where am I? Where was I last year? I can't stay. I don't want yesterday's manna because it's God made it go stale. I want the fresh manna. I want the fresh water. I don't want to be bogged in or I don't want to slow down. I need to keep moving. I need to keep progressing. Because it says a beautiful thing in here. It says that every month, day, all of a sudden the river turns into a day. It's not a river anymore. Day. Every month, they will bear because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. So there's an effect to the produce. People are getting something out of it. And that's what we're supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to be now the healing balm. We're supposed to be now giving life. I thank God for that man that came into my house. I thank God for that man who led me to God. I thank God for Noel Kenny and Sharon Kenny. People who stuck with me. I thank God for that healing balm. I thank God for that they had trees on both sides when I had nothing. I thank God that people were prepared to listen and bear with me. And I was eating up their trees. Can you understand that, guys? I don't want to be a Christian that's constantly taking. That's a marsh Christian. Constantly swallowing up, consuming, taking, causing everything to die. I want to be a giving Christian. How do I be a giving Christian when the rivers are flowing in my life, when the temple waters are feeding me? That's the only way I can be a producing Christian. Is when the living water is flowing in my life. Are you with me? Right, let's go to the New Testament. Let's talk about the living water. Amen. I just want to congratulate my son Luke's first morning doing the media. Well done, Luke. He's going to secondary school next year and he got two Valentine's cards dropped in the door last night. I'm trying to hang on to things. It's kind of a losing battle. Amen. Just when it happens to my daughter. I dare you. Amen. John 4. If you're there with me, John 4, God is good. It starts off in verse 7. And this is, what's happening here now is coming. What Ezekiel saw is now being real. It's now, the prophecy is fulfilled. It's happening. It's happening. That's why we're so blessed, because we can look back at that. Ezekiel never knew this. We're so blessed as a generation that we can look back at that. That's available to us. That we can now look back on that. And we can understand that in our lives. See, it's happening now. This is prophecy fulfilled. This is the exacting. This is the cubit of God. This is the measurement of God. This is exactly what God planned and what he's fulfilling. This is the walking out That's the if you're ever studying that Ezekiel prophecy, it's called the walking out prophecy. This is the walking out. This is it happening in front of us. The perfection, the fulfillment of the law. The one who could keep it. The only one. The one who stood up in the midst of it all. The one who went into the temple and cleared it out. The one who says, not my will, but my Father's will. And now he speaks. He talks. And he brings life to the situation. And he says, it says there, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can I go get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so they won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right. Put your finger on that. Here's the river now in effect. This is what Ezekiel saw. He saw salt being made fresh. Who's the salt in this story? The woman. And now all of a sudden she's in contact now with the living water. And very gently he exposes her. Very gently. This is one of the greatest discourses in the Bible. We get so much information from this. Such a picture from this. That here is a woman caught in sin. Here is a woman that the salt has destroyed her. Here is a woman that needs the living water more than anybody. Here is a woman that is in such need spiritually. Like all of us. Like all of us when we come in contact with the Lord. That Jesus in a way exposes us. But very gently and very beautifully. But also exposes us with hope. He doesn't just leave there. You're this, you're that, see you after. He doesn't do that. You're that and this, that, and what about that? And I'm not talking to you. And he was well within his rights to do that culturally. He was well within his rights to walk away from this woman. But you see, there's something different happening here. This is the living water. And Jesus says to you, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have five husbands. And your husband, what you have just said is quite true. Sorry, your five husbands, and the man you have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But the Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman. A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah, God the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared. I who speak to you am he. For the first time in the Bible, we get a clear direction. It's me. And he explained himself to us as living water. He declared to the woman. This is how he made himself known to her. This is how he defined himself. This is how he made himself clear. That he spoke of himself as being the living water. He's thinking back in Ezekiel. He's looking at prophecy. It's being fulfilled in the midst. I am the living water that Ezekiel spoke about. I am life. I am the truth. If you drink of me, you will never go thirsty. This water that I bring quenches a different thirst. This water that I bring brings life wherever it goes. This water I bring will change you. This water I bring will bring sustenance to your life. It's not the physical, but it's the spiritual. And Jesus spoke. He spoke about a water that is satisfying to the soul. And I know that from my own testimony, and I know that from listening to other men's testimonies, is that they come to God, or that they're in the world, and they have everything. They have a big open well in front of them. Every time they drink of that well, they're left wanting. Every time they draw from that well, they're left wanting. They're left empty. They're left thirsty again. And this mad thing about thirst, your thirst is satisfied, but it comes back with the same vigor as it did the day before. It never slights in any way. It's thirst is thirst. And that's what Jesus says to him, that this water you drink, you'll be thirsty again tomorrow. But I bring you water that you will never thirst again. I'm offering you the living water that comes, that satisfies the soul. And that's what I want to get across this morning. I want everybody to understand that when we offer our lives to Jesus Christ, that when we turn to the Lord, that He is the living water. That He is the sustainer. It's amazing when you hear, my own life included, it's amazing how many times we're drawn back to the old well. It's amazing how many times we're drawn back to just have to give another go. It's amazing the amount of times that we long for the old well and we're prepared to go back to it. Yet we know that the more we drink of it, the worse it gets. And that's my plea here this morning, is that we understand and know that Jesus is the living water. That if that water is in contact with us, it brings life. It brings life wherever it goes. It brings life. But the message in this is that we must be committed to that. We must be fully in the river. We must be fully consumed. The amount of times, and we live in a treacherous time. I'll finish with this. We live in a treacherous time. We live in a world where I can speak to somebody tomorrow in Australia. If anything happens in Dublin, it's all over the world in 10 hours, 12 hours. We live in a treacherous time where the youth of today, nothing excites them. We live in a treacherous time where we've seen everything, done everything, been everywhere. And we bring that into the church. Just like that woman. Many husbands as you have, single husbands. And the one you have now is not your husband. She has tried everything and done everything and been everything. And that's not even coming from our society. We live in a treacherous time where people come into church and Pastor Noel will tell you, people that preach the word of God almost have to be these entertainers to keep people in the church. And there's no slight in anybody. It's no slight in anybody. But when you preach the word of God, we look out and it's like... it's like... just can't keep a focus. You can't stay with something. Unless I jump around the stage here and do about 50 flips. And then I say, no, better that next week. And then Noel comes and preaches the message on a trampoline. Then I come and preach the message on words or something. It's the only way we keep people excited. It's the only way we keep people awake. And eventually then that'll, oh, the trapeze again, the triple. And that's what's come to today. You can go home Bring your car and go on the computer and get something more exciting than this. We live in a treacherous time where the gospel has been squeezed out into something boring and backwards and back in yesteryear. Exactly where that woman was at the well. And Jesus brought nothing to her that changed her situation. Didn't bring her a new husband. Didn't say, let me marry you. He didn't do anything that because he's seen that she was still thirsty spiritually after all her experiences. What he brought her was the living water. And if you can't get excited about that, you may give up. It's not going to excite you. And it won't excite you. And God will refuse to entertain you. I'm telling you now from my own experience. You're coming to church and you fall asleep halfway through church. Check yourself. Don't come to the pastor and say, bring us something new. You can't get anywhere with something. You can't change. This is the life-changing stuff here. And either you're in the river or you're out of it. And guys, okay, that's been my heart plea for the last month about trying to get people excited about this. And it's not fair on Pastor Noel. And it's not fair on preachers nowadays. Come on, entertain us. There's someone better on the internet, you know. I can switch you off and switch someone else on. But you're missing the message. You're still drawn from that well that's not satisfying you. You're still drawn from the well that doesn't get you anywhere. You're still as thirsty yesterday you were the other day. And that's what God is saying to us. What is satisfying you? I can be the only one that satisfies you. And then when the living waters are in your life, you bring life. I tell you, I thank God for the man that came into my home. I thank God that he was excited about the gospel. I thank God that he heard God and he said, I'm going. I thank God he wasn't falling asleep too halfway through a sermon. I wouldn't be here. Amen. Amen. The worship team want to come back. I'd like to do the ocean song again. And if you want to stand, I'm just going to do an altar call. If you want refreshing, it's going to be the old cliches, isn't it? If you want refreshing, and if you want this, if you want that, yeah, of course, come up to the front. Because we all need. But the real issue is, what well are you tapped into? Listen up, guys. What well are you tapped into? What well are you tapped into? How far are you in the river? Are you sucking the life out of people or are you giving life? That's the challenge this morning. And that's where I want people to privately go to God with these issues. Come up for prayer and Trish and Pauline and all the team will pray for you. Jennifer, if you want to come up and pray with us. And Phil, come on up, Phil. Stephen Conway, come on up, all the prayer team, come on up and we lay hands on you. Of course we will. But the big issue this morning is, where are you? How far are you in the river? How far are you willing to go? And what well are you drinking from?